The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to John. Jesus said, "If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to Philip, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does God's works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Holy God, send your Spirit upon us. Light our hearts and on fire. Fill our imaginations with what is possible. Shine the light of your truth into our lives so that others may see you. Amen. Just before we came into church this morning, a member of the choir, a young member of the choir, asked me, "Why do we celebrate Pentecost?" My response to him was, "Listen to my sermon." So hopefully I get it right. Let's revisit the Pentecost story for a second. So there's been all the happenings in Jerusalem. Jesus has been crucified. Jesus has come back. They've visited. He's given final instructions. They've had some good grilled fish on the beach, you know, broke a little bread here and there, walked a little ways on a road to Emmaus. He's like Elvis in the 80s, kept popping up everywhere, you know. And really, that's actually funny. But I try it every year and nobody laughs. Maybe it's not. But you don't remember the Inquirer cover? Never mind. Okay, tough crowd. So Jesus keeps popping up everywhere, and then finally he gives his final kind of goodbye speech in a way, and he tells them, "Do not be afraid, don't worry, I'm not abandoning you." Because this is their fear, right? They've spent all this time following, learning from, being in fellowship with their Lord, their rabbi, their friend, you know, and now they're pretty sure he's not coming back again. He's already done that once. And so they are petrified of two things. They don't know what's next, and they're scared to death of the authorities because they are now seen as kind of outlaws, as definitely as religious outcasts. And Jesus says to them, "Don't fear. I'm really not going to abandon you. Yes, I'm not coming back in this bodily form, at least no time soon, but we will send the advocate." The advocate, that's who, what we now know as the Holy Spirit. Okay, I mean, if I was in that conversation, I'm not sure that that would be super reassuring, but they're going to go with it. They trust this guy. But they're still scared, and they're kind of locked in this room, this upper room. You get kind of the picture of where they had the Last Supper. And then all of a sudden, the windows and the doors blow open. It's very dramatic, or at least in my mind it is. You did almost as well as I do. And the doors blow open, and this gust of wind comes through. It must have been rather startling, to say the least. And then all of a sudden, the weirdness gets weirder. Little tongue licks of fire start flashing around the room and rest upon the heads of each one of the apostles. And then all of a sudden, they begin to be able to speak in languages that, the best that I know and the best that any biblical scholar that I've read on the subject knows, were not native tongues or even learned tongues of theirs. Because in fact, there are more tongues being spoken. There are more people understanding in the streets what's being said from different places, more than the number of people speaking. It's gospel math. It's when 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2. It's when 12 plus however many equals everything. It's gospel math. And then there's this really kind of amusing and somewhat sad conversation where some are amazed and the other are pretty much convinced they're drunk. I don't know about you, but I've never met anybody who gains a foreign language when they've had too much to drink. But whatever. And then the best line in the whole thing is what? They can't be drunk. It's only 9:30 in the morning. It's like you wonder what these guys' reputation is, don't you? This gust of wind, this breath of life that God breathes into the church. This is the birth. To answer the question, why do we celebrate Pentecost? It is the birth of the Jesus movement. It is the birth of the church, kind of, sort of, as we know it. God breathes life into these people and through these people that animates the Jesus movement. In the Old Testament, that breath that God breathed into the early creatures that gave them life was called Ruha, the Ruha of God, the breath of life. Just fills the lungs. We were talking a little bit about this yesterday. When my middle son, Henry, was born, he had what's called hyaline membrane disease. It's your lungs don't fully inflate. And if you've talked to him now at 22, you'll now know they work just well. Fine, thank you. They could only inflate so much, and then it was like a first breath every time, and he became so exhausted, they had to put him on a machine to keep him alive for 10 days until he regained the strength to allow his lungs to breathe. It was that moment when God breathes into you. And for so many, it's that first moment, but for some, it takes a little longer. But God breathes that life into us. God breathed that life into the church and animated it. Gave it purpose and gave it being. The United Church of Christ, the UCC, has a slogan. It's, God is still speaking. God is still speaking. It's a continuation of that breath breathed in on that day when those 12 were driven out into the streets and started speaking. As God spoke to them, God spoke through them. God is still speaking. In the Episcopal Church, we have a slightly less catchy saying, because ours came about in 1546, which is not a time known for good marketing. And that is that we believe in what's called a three-legged stool. Right? Some of you have heard this before. We believe in, or we we live out our religion, our faith through the three formative things: scripture, tradition, and reason. And now there's been a movement for the last 20 years or so to add experience. And I would say tradition and reason is experience. But both, whether we're talking about the three-legged stool, the four-legged stool, or God is still speaking, which is a much catchier slogan, it's about how do we hear God today? If we are willing to go with the fact or assume the fact that God is still speaking, the question then becomes twofold. One, how, and more importantly, are we listening? Because if God is still speaking and we are not listening, what's the point? So, how does God speak to us today? How do you experience the divine? How do you experience the holy? I can just give her a second. They were on their way up. In some ways, that's exactly how I experience the holy. There are very few things that can animate my mind as much as the noise of a child. Sometimes it's crying, sometimes it's cooing, sometimes it's other things. Those of you who were here last week remembered after every piece of music, there was a little boy in back, there was a child in back who after every piece of music went, yay! And I'm like, that's just like so perfect. You know, it's like, you know, we use amen. Or if we're really getting out on the ledge, we use hallelujah. But yay really works. You know, that should be like a new whoever's in charge, next rewrite of the prayer book, add it in. Yay, after every piece of music. So how is God speaking to you? What are the experiences that you're having that remind you that you are the beloved of God? And if you're having those experiences, and I suggest that you are, whether you know it or not, what do you then do with them? Because when God speaks to us, God is speaking through us. How do we reach out into the wider community and share the love of God? On Facebook earlier in this week, there was a meme going around that said, it doesn't matter, let's see if I can get it right, it doesn't matter how many Bible passages you remember, or God doesn't care how many Bible passages you remember, God cares how you treat other people. I mean, to me, that's the disconnect for so many in Christianity, that somehow if we go through the motions and we say the right words, we can behave however we want. Well, I would suggest that it's the behavior that speaks of what's in our hearts more than what we can recite. I'm going to steal a child for a second. Give mom a break. I know. That's awesome. That's why you have short hair. Okay. Really? Is God still speaking? She may be a little grumpy about it, but God is still speaking. So my question for you goes back to the one I asked a few minutes ago. If we can have the faith that says that God is still speaking, are we listening? And what are we doing with that knowledge gained? That hope and sense of the possible that fills our hearts? Well, this is one of the places we start. We start by welcoming, in this case, two very small little people. Well, one small and little and one not so. Into the church, into the community. Because the journey begins where? At the beginning. And to make these people a part of it is to share what we are receiving. I know, it's cool, isn't it? Is to share what we are receiving as we listen to what God is saying. Now, don't pull your mother's hair. My wife will treat you a trick. She wears really short hair. So today is Pentecost. The reason we celebrate Pentecost is the same reason that we celebrate birthdays. Because we give meaning and place to the beginning of things. But we don't stop there. You know, the 12 didn't run out into the streets and make a bunch of crazy noise, go back into the upper room, and everything was quiet for the next 2 millennia. They ran out into the streets, made a bunch of crazy noise, and then spread throughout the world. I want to end on one quick note. I don't know if you've seen it, but Curtis has reposted it a number of times on our website and on our Facebook page here at the church. But Presiding Bishop Michael Curry was interviewed recently about Pope Francis's comments that he was giving permission for a commission to study the possibility of women deacons in the Catholic Church. Okay, if you start with Pope Francis and you end up over here with women deacons in the Catholic Church, it sounds awesome. The problem is to get that, you've got to get the authorization of a committee to look at the possibility of. And so the interviewer asked Michael, since the Episcopal Church has ordained women for quite a while now, what has been our experience? What would you tell the Pope? And Michael, never hesitating to tell anybody what he believes or thinks, said, look, when we follow the leading of God, when we listen to what God is telling us, we are better for it. Now, it's about a 3-minute comment, but that's the beginning and that's the end of it. What Michael said was, we felt led to the ordination of women. If you remember the times, we were all a flutter about it, either excited or upset. And what we found out was when God calls someone to be a priest, it doesn't matter, or a deacon or a bishop or any form of ministry whatsoever, it's not that God is calling a woman or God is calling a man or God is calling a straight person, a bi person, a transsexual person, you know, or a gay person, not blue, yellow, green, black, or white. God is calling a person and they are just that. When we listen to God, quite frankly, we are just better for it. Amen.